how do we live with unbelievers? And when we say that, I mean, there's two things that come to mind. One is come out and be separate from them. That's one thought. The other thought is, man, we're the salt and light of the world. And Jesus, he hung out with unbelievers all the time. So how do we live with them? We're going to be answering that. Hang on. 180 with Carl Claussen, Your Life, A New Direction. Let me forecast for you. I Parent with Dawn Pearson's coming up. Invasive technology. Oh, my goodness. It's all around us. We're going to get some great wisdom from Dawn. Man, what an expert he is. And the wisdom that he has, profound. Also, a new direction thought before we get out of here for the day. But right now, let's lean into it. I've got a great guest back again, Dr. George Koch. He's the author of What We Believe and Why. Here's what he's done. He's got this book. Follow along. Get a copy. If you don't already have one, get one. But in What We Believe and Why, George has outlined for us theology in practical ways, and he's dealing with stuff that you won't find in most theology books. Let me bring him in. George, good to have you with me again today on 180.
Carl, I'm delighted to be here with you again.
Oh, man, what a ride. Living with unbelievers, I framed it right at the opener here, but really, we live in a world where we wonder. The average person listening still doesn't have this dance figured out, George, and that is, do we come out and be separate? Do we wade in and be salt and light? How do those two things blend themselves together? It's a decent question to wrestle with, isn't it, George?
Well, it's valuable, and that the come out and be separate is not meant to be separate in the sense of I don't talk to somebody
right
who doesn't know Jesus already. If so, we just need to throw out Matthew 28 when Jesus sends us to everybody to share the good news.
Well, we throw out the entire Gospels.
Might as well.
Yeah, we throw out the life of Jesus because he lived to turn unbelievers on to Jesus Christ. The reason I set that up as a straw man is we've got to tear it down. So before we wade into some of what you've written, let's take this on. When is separateness necessary for the believer from the unbeliever?
Well, the separateness really is related to sin, not to
proximity.
Who you keep company with.
Okay.
And the thing that we're not to do in living with unbelievers is to enter into the sin that they engage in. We are to engage them. We're not to engage with the sin itself.
That is great. Engaging with them, but not engaging with the sin of them necessarily if they're engaged in that. That is
if they are, right, of course.
Right. And by the way, that's a huge, there's a little Freudian thing there because I think we assume that because they're unbelievers that almost everything in total about them is somehow polluted. And the fact is they're image bearers of God as well, right, George?
They are. They're created in his image. And also the reality about us, even as believers,
we still sin. You better believe it. We can stink it up royally. Oh, well, I've got a great man with me here right now, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why. You've done a great job framing this out. I'm going to cut you loose. How do we live with unbelievers, George?
Well, the short answer, and then I'll expand on it, is we love them, love them, love them.
I love that.
When we look at someone who is in sin and who is therefore in need, what Jesus says that we're supposed to do is see him in them. And we pursue that image of God, if you would, in them to try to draw out that genuine need and also to bring that image back into full relationship with its creator. And the way that that's done is by sharing not our religion, sharing not our theology, sharing not even the genuine and important elements of sanctification, but rather sharing the love of God and the forgiveness of God for that person. When a person knows that, or we share with them, that all of the mess that I've made of my life, which with my best effort, I really know that I can't repay and get past, but God is willing to come and just wipe it away, just forgive it, to take the price that should have been paid and pay it, that is the opening, that is the salvation, which is the good news. Following that is amendment of life. But amendment of life doesn't come first. You can't go to someone and say, do this, act this way, behave in this way, and then let's talk about the forgiveness God has.
I love that. George, here's what's good. You set this up in a beautiful way, and the timing on this topic today is powerful. You say that the crucifixion is where our witness, it's what it hinges on. So you're saying strip away all presupposition of our righteousness, boil it all down to the cross and the grace of Christ.
Exactly.
Love it.
And the willing forgiveness of God, even though we have sinned, fallen on our face, mistreated others, hurt ourselves and hurt the world, in spite of all of that, the scripture says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we'd cleaned up our act and looked good enough to be forgiven. That doesn't even make sense. But rather, while we were still sinners, he died for us. That's the good news.
I want to stop right there. Why are we so prone to forget that, George?
I don't know. Because I'm dumb. It's hard to hold on to that. It's so extraordinary.
You know, I think that's it. I think it's so extraordinary. It's so out of the ordinary. And it's just dawning on me. This is the beauty of worship. It brings us into something transcendent and allows us to grasp hold of something that isn't earthy. That's what's beautiful.
Well, in fact, I think even an element in it is that we are too embarrassed because of the ways in which we know that we've failed to imagine that God might be willing to countenance seeing us or forgiving us, or that God might actually desire deeper relationship with us. How could that possibly be true? I'm much too much of a mess.
Well, then now we're getting honest. This is so good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a comma here because I don't want to just exhaust this. You've given some examples of what to do and what not to do that are so provocative. I'm going to hang on to that. So you that are listening, just hang on for 7 days because we're going to be back. George, I love you. Powerful stuff, man. And I know that at West Chicago, Resurrection Church of West Chicago, you're going to be celebrating an empty tomb this weekend, aren't you, my friend?
Boy, we're going to dance.
Good
it's a wonderful, wonderful empty tomb.
Yes, it is. What a day to celebrate it, even today. George Koch, everyone. What we believe and why. How to live with unbelievers. Powerful thoughts for today. Thanks for being with me, my friend.
Thanks, Carl. God bless.
Coming up, iParent Don Pearson. Invasive technology, it's everywhere. What to do about it? Next, 180 with Carl Klaus in your life, a new direction.